Hey, this is Evangel's Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and to my right is John. Today we are just talking about the gospel, really. Have you ever seen some of these signs that people put up? You know, signs that are like heaven or hell. You know, and heaven is shining on, you know, like these backlit clouds. It's this kind of peaceful, serene thing, and then the hell is ablaze. And then it says, hey, call this number if you don't want to go to hell.
You know, oh, yeah. I usually see them on the highway on a billboard, and yeah. I always wonder, like,
who calls that
number?
That's just scary.
Sometimes they look like they're real old, too.
I hope people respond to those things. Yeah. They hear the gospel. But I wonder about how effective those mm-hmm. things are. One time I was an associate pastor, and I did not want to go to preach at this church. But their pastor had walked out the day before, and my board said, you have to go. They don't have anybody. You have to go. So I travel up to this place, and I get there about a half hour early. And on the sign, it says, hell sure is hot. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I getting into here? Anyway, I went there, I preached, and then I left. But I think that there's these attempts to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just so our listeners know, if you don't know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is it's simply this, that you're a sinner in need of a savior. That savior is Jesus. He died on a cross. He shed his blood. He was absolutely perfect. He is the only one that could make that sacrifice for you. And the work of all humans is to believe in the one that God has sent, and that is Jesus. And if you believe in him, the Bible says that you have eternal life. That is simply the gospel. And the Bible says that Jesus promises to make us fishers of men. But often in our culture today, it seems like the old fish aren't biting so well. We're out fishing sometimes, and there's just nothing happening. People remained unfazed by the afterlife. They're not focused on it at all. They're really focused on the here and now. What toy can I buy? What thing I can enjoy? How can I make my life better? What's my relationship like? What's my job like? Which is not wrong to be connected to those things. But they're not asking what's going to happen to them when they die. They usually shrug their shoulders and go, well, when it happens, it happens. When my time comes, it comes. They assume that it'll all work out for the best. And so I think, like some churches, what they do to get around this in this culture is they stop talking about things like hell. But hell is in the scriptures. Jesus talks about it. It's all throughout the scriptures, and it's a real place. It's a place of punishment. And yet churches kind of have gone to this direction of making Jesus not our savior and Lord, but they've gone to this place of making him our BFF. And I think that's problematic in some ways. Not that Jesus isn't a friend of mine, but
that makes me think of the t-shirt, Jesus is my homeboy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
so
about.
So I got to get rid of that now.
Yeah, no, okay. I think there's some truth to that Jesus yeah. is our friend, and that we're a friend of Jesus because he's a friend of sinners, right? I think that's true, but I think if that's what your emphasis and you miss out on some of the reasons why he came, people at Christmas time, they talk about Jesus is the reason for the season. The reason for the season is sin. He yeah. had to come, right? And so the brokenness in our life, the departure from God, all of those things. But how do you talk about that in a way that people look in our culture that there's many gods, no gods, they're their own God? However they're viewing that, how do you proclaim that?
I think just going back to what you were saying about, you know, Jesus is my friend, John talks about how Jesus came, he was the Son of God, and he was full of grace and truth. And we want to lean on one side or the other of those things. We want all the grace, or if you're at the church that you like to go to, you're full of truth. And the fire and the hell and the brimstone and all that stuff. And like, it's both and. And we want to segment those things out because one either makes us feel better about ourselves, superior than other people, or you've got to have the balance in that thing. And if that gets lopsided, you lose out on the fullness of God. We see it so much in churches in our society today. You want to grab onto one and not hold on to the other. And that causes problems. That comes to this point where there is no truth or there is no grace.
What's the finest thing that you've ever eaten or drink?
Drinking?
Yeah. What's the finest thing that you've ever... And was it good?
There is a place back in Wisconsin that I love to go to, and they had prime rib, and it was amazing. So there's that place, and then there was another place that I went down with some buddies in Chicago on a quick blast down trip and ripped back in a day. And we had Gene and Giorgetti's steak. Oh. It was a fanciest steak place I've ever been, where the steaks start at $60 and that's all you get is the steak. Yeah. You have to pay for the sides for extra.
Yeah, there's a place back in Illinois near Chicago that my wife and I like to go to called, well, not often, I'll just be clear, but called Wildfire. They've got these steak medallions that are, they're like...
Were you just going to say brilliant? Like if you're brilliant. From England?
No, I was going to say,
keen.
Oh, they're brilliant.
Very
I almost said they're breaded, but that's not what it
mobile.
Is. They're crusted. That's what it is. I was going to say breaded. They're not breaded. It's steak medallions that are crusted with like these different, and it's the same kind of thing. It's like a fancy steakhouse. And I think the only time we've eaten there is when we got a gift card. But yeah, it was real good, to answer the other part of your question.
What's, not escargot, what's the little fish egg thing?
Oh, caviar.
Caviar. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I had that. They're like, oh my goodness, you got to try this. This is so... And I was at this dinner with my wife, and she's more fancy than I am because she gets invited to places that have caviar. And I took a big bite of this stuff, and it almost went right back out of my mouth because I'm like, what in the world? It's like... like tapioca fish tasting things in your mouth going around. And I took that big, huge amount because I thought it was going to be awesome. And it was not awesome, that first bite. The second bite was a little better. The third bite was a little better. And I'm like, I could get used to eating this stuff. This stuff is kind of awesome, right? But it's super expensive to get this. I think sometimes when we present the gospel and we're discouraged by people not entering into that conversation, it's because they're not used to the finer things of life. Jesus is really the finer thing of life. And so you present this thing of Jesus as this finer thing of life, and they're like, I don't need that. I'm okay just hanging out.
What? I mean, isn't that like
cheese sandwiches?
Isn't that like trying to get our kids to eat new foods? I don't know if either of you have kids who are picky eaters, but a couple of mine, I'm like, you want to try this. It's really good. And he'd rather stick with what he's got.
And I use the line all the time, have I ever given you anything that's not good? And they're like, no, but this could be the time.
This could be it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the reality is the scriptures say that people who do not know Christ, that their minds have been blinded by Satan to these things. And so the goodness of who God is not, it's just not present there yet. And so the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, all of those things, I think we introduce people, we let them hold on to it for a second. And continue to have a conversation of the greatness of what this is. What does this actually mean in our lives? And so there's this personal testimony chunk that's coming out of how awesome this thing is. And I think part of the problem with the church and the proclamation of the gospel sometimes is nothing's happening in people's life because they're not being obedient to the lordship of Christ, which means that they're not being obedient to the commands of Christ. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. And so I think some of the tension sometimes comes into the proclamation is we're proclaiming the good news of eternal security, and yet we don't have anything to – we're not living in it right now with him.
I think maybe this is a different – little bit different than what you're talking about, Levi, but there's also the reality that sometimes when people see us as Christians or churchgoers or whatever phrase you want to use, often we're not living it out in a way that's very appealing. You know, we're, I think, you know, if you look at some stereotypes of Christians, there's judgmental, there's, you know, all these negative things. We're squares. We don't know how to have fun, like that kind of stuff. And I think some of it is the way that we, as Christ followers, live out our lives too, that can often make it harder to have these conversations with people.
Part of it is because we also live in a physical world. We're saints in a fallen world.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of where we reside. But that's not our final destiny. Right. It's not our final place. And oftentimes we talk about heaven, and the Bible does talk a little bit about heaven, gives us a little bit of a picture of it. But it also says it's not our final resting place.
Right.
And so I think when we start to talk about the return of Christ and It's like this epic movie of evil being shunned out and the resurrection of the body, just as Christ's body's been resurrected. And the new heaven and the new earth where God resides with us and God is our prize. I think that's a much more compelling.
Yeah.
Much more. It's also way better theology.
Let me find the verse here because I've got it. It's Colossians 3:17 that talks about whatever you do, whether in word or deed. And this comes back to that, some of that stuff where people look at you and they're like, you're telling me this stuff, but you're not smoking what you're selling, right? Like I can tell, like you're doing completely opposite of what you say you stand for and live by. And like, I know a lot of people who have been turned off because it's not authentic. It's not genuine. It's a hypocrisy that you're living, and people can smell that a mile away. I like the analogy of the caviar because there are multiple ways that you can share faith. In word and deed is going to be a great place to start. Mm-hmm. If we just take the spoonful of caviar and shove it down somebody's mouth that's never tasted it before, exactly what you wanted to do is spit it right back out. It's not going to happen. You've got to ease into it with some people. We've got to build up those relationships.
Some people have decided already before trying it that they don't like it.
Yeah.
And they're,
just like our kids.
Yeah, right.
Give them a little bite. Mm-hmm. You got to build up rapport and trust in those relationships. Because I've done bad ways of trying to share the gospel with people and just been forceful. Like, you just need to know this. Like, it's for your own good.
What's the tension, though, between that and the people? Like, I hear what you're saying, but the church for a long time has been sitting in this, you know, we got to be gentle with everyone. Well, here's the reality. You're going to either live here forever in God's restored world, or you're going to live in hell.
Mm-hmm.
There should be some urgency to that.
There should be. But I'm saying you got to know when the time is right with the person, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. But I don't think that's usually the issue. I think the proclamation from the church of the gospel, because it's not being lived out or they don't feel like it's being lived out in their life, has been one of the downsides
of it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying, and I think you're 100% right. But you people who are listening out there, you have no excuse not to share the gospel. Absolutely. If you know the gospel. Yeah. That's what I'm really trying. I'm bottom line.
You have to do it. But
right.
How you go about it matters.
Right.
I think there's one thing to say, you know, you're going to burn in hell because you're a sinner. And there's a whole another thing is like, just imagine with me for a second. Who sang that song? Imagine.
John Lennon.
Yeah. You go all at John Lennon with actual theology, right? Like, what if Adam didn't sin? What if sin never entered the world? How would we see the world? What would the colors be like? What would be like the music be like? What would the food taste like? This is heaven. This is what it's going to look like. And we start to describe it in a way that the Bible describes it as this utopia. Mm-hmm. Man cannot, and this is one of the other things, and whether you're out there and you're a Marxist or you're a capitalist or whatever you are, you cannot create a utopia. It does not work without the person of Jesus Christ. And someday we're going to live in utopia. Don't you want this? Wouldn't you want this? And I think all of our souls want that. And that's kind of the bottom line for me in sharing this is, like, help me to understand how you're going to get there. I hear what you're saying. What's your greatest dream? And ask some questions in there. What would it be like, you think, if evil wasn't here? Like, that's one of the things I ask. Is it like, what do you think it would look like?
For a long time, the church has gone either tipping on the side of the grace or the truth. And so then you get a lot of people that are super for a Christian to share their faith with them. It takes a lot of time to develop that relationship, to develop that rapport. Well, they'll trust you enough to actually enter into those conversations, because you try to go into a spiritual conversation with somebody that you don't know very well that has no interest in it. I mean, you get some looks. So I totally agree with what you're saying, Levi.
Yeah. We're all worried about this because we're relational beings. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about in those conversations looking like the guy who stands on the corner and yells, turn or burn, you know, type of a thing. Yep. And yet the reality is there's a certain amount of truth to what they're actually saying. John the Baptist talked about repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus says, hey, repent. Like, this repentance thing is there, and they're pretty bold at Paul, the apostle. He was kind of no joke about this. Acts chapter 17, he talks about it in a little bit different way, but you don't often see it in a little bit different way. In Acts chapter 17, he's on Mars Hill. There's a philosopher's there. He's walking through their towns, and he says to him, hey, let me introduce you to the unknown God. But he's going right to Jesus. He's going right to who God is. And I think that's part of it, is helping people to bridge that gap. And I think that's what you're really saying, is how do we bridge that gap? I don't know if this concept of let's just do good works and then everyone will know, it actually plays out. I haven't seen it play out. Like, there has to be a proclamation.
Proclamation, word and deed.
And as a pastor, you know, I think this is some of what I'm hearing from you, Levi, is like, I want to be cautious to not make people hear me, make people think I'm giving them an out. Like, you know what? If you think they're probably going to be turned off by it, you don't have to. Which I think is, I mean, sometimes it is about how you have that conversation, but more times than not, I think that turns the average person, and myself included at times, it gives me an out when actually I am supposed to be sharing with them more directly. But I go, well, but there's this category where maybe I don't want to upset them and then ruin the conversation forever.
And this is war. Satan's at war with God. And if someone was a prisoner of war and you went into their encampment and you said, hey,
I got a tunnel over here,
come with me. Yeah. Like, I think we'd be much
more
urgent.
Of urgency.
Well, yeah. Even in the Old Testament, if you look at the Egyptians, they have God's people in captivity. When it was time to go, I don't think Moses was going, hey,
ready,
let me have a relationship with you to see if you want to come out. No, they plundered the Egyptians and they walked out of there. And then the people were scared out of their mind and God showed up and did incredible things. But he invited them right away into this new reality. And if we truly believe that people are products of a war that's going on, that's outside of our sight, it's a spiritual war between Satan and God. I don't know who said this. Spurgeon, I believe it was. Spurgeon said, how valuable must our souls be that Satan and God are both fighting for them? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key as a follower of Jesus, is you have to keep that. Like, God is fighting for their soul. God is fighting for your soul. He wants you to know him by name. And so, me, I'm a little bit more of, let's get out there and let's proclaim some things. Obviously, we do it with respect, but there is a moment that it has to be an engagement of that. And the reality is that we have to say, hey, there is hell. I don't think scaring the hell out of people is wrong. I think you have to use that within the right terms. I think what you're getting at is the old school, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Like a punch and you in the gut thing.
And I'm glad that you pointed that out, what you just said about the battle and that we're at war, because it's the way that you need to plan the attack. Like, it might be a sneak attack.
It might be,
you know, an aerial assault. Not that sharing your faith is assault, but we got to be ready for it at all times. There needs to be a sense of urgency. How we go about that matters, though, too. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. I think the other thing is, in people sometimes shy away from this, but I think one of the things is getting people into a house of worship, a church, a gathering. This is God's people. This is the bride of Christ. The invisible becomes visible in this moment in time that God does every week with us as we walk into the church. And I think when we start to invite people even into that, and maybe that's the step that you need to make, is just to invite somebody to church, that a church that is proclaiming the gospel, that Jesus is the only way to the Father. None of this shenanigans that there's many ways and, you know, Jesus is Buddha, Jesus. No, he's not. It's the scriptures are clear. There's only one way. It's Jesus. And he died on the cross for you. Man, God loves you. And if you're going in that direction, I think to simply go, hey, you should come hang out with these people and just see for yourself.
Yeah, come and see. Come and see. Yep.
Yeah, got me all fired up, you crazies.
Man, oh man. That's good. That's good. I couldn't agree more with you, you know, and maybe this is obvious, given that we're three pastors sitting around here talking about this, but I can't even count the number of times over the years that I've heard someone's story involves, I never wanted to be a part of any of this. And then I came to the church and met the people at the church and found out what it was about. And that was the beginning of changing their lives.
I think one of the things is, I don't think when somebody comes to know Jesus at the very first moment, they're going to exactly have all the language down or all the things. Right. They're still going to be them. You know, I'm still a junior higher at heart and I know Jesus and he didn't transform that out of me yet. There's still things that I struggle with sin-wise and those types of things. And I think being honest about that and walking through that and understanding that we're not suiting up on Sunday morning here. We're not getting our steeple throat and stained glass eyes on before we walk in the door. We're walking in as broken people who are saints because Jesus made us. His righteousness has been given to us and it is just amazing. And a great thing. So I'm excited about Jesus. I don't know about you all, but I am.
I mean, that makes me think of something I would say to the followers of Christ, the churchgoers who are listening. We all need to be ready to be inviting people in where they're at. And we need to be humbled by the fact of what you just said, that we're all sinners. And I think we all just need to be reminded, oh yeah, I've been forgiven of a lot. It doesn't matter who you are. You've been forgiven of a lot. And so you need to forgive and you need to be willing to give grace and share love and truth, you know, as we're talking about earlier in this.
Yeah, and you can explore it. Here at Evangel, we just open our doors and you can have questions. You can say we're all crazy. We don't care. We're still going to follow Jesus and we're going to still walk with that. But we're open to questions. We're open to ideas. We're open for you to have your questions, and we'll do our best to answer any question that you have. So come on out. We would love to have you. We have services at 9:30 and 11, so you've been invited.
If you guys want a replay of what we talked about today, you can find the Evangel Houghton podcast on your Apple Podcast or Google Play on your devices there, or you can check out the latest Pearls and Swine episode at our church website, evangelup.org. And if you got any questions, comments, or want to talk more about what kind of questions you have, we're open to that too. Shoot us an email at travis@evangelup.org. And thanks for tuning in, guys. We will catch up with you next week.